Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
I brought with me this morning a replica of the Neuralizer from the 1997 movie Men in Black. Now, this is just a side note, but when that movie came out, I wanted to be a man in black. So it's no surprise when we went to Universal Studios this summer that I bought this Neuralizer at the gift shop. But you know, I wasn't the only one that liked that movie, Men in Black. And in fact, it was a very popular movie. When it first hit theaters, it became a blockbuster hit almost immediately, and it grossed $589 million. It was the third top grossing film of the year. So people, they were flocking to the theater. Now, if you haven't seen Men in Black, all right, let me explain what the Neuralizer is. The Neuralizer was essentially used to erase people's memories so that they could keep the aliens and this intergalactic alien-fighting bureau undercover, all right? So a few weeks after the movie had hit theaters and after much of the population had already seen the movie, Sony Pictures released a new and a rather clever ad. Will Smith came out onto the screen. He put on his sunglasses, he pulled out the Neuralizer, he pointed it at the viewers, and then he flashed it, all right? It was a much more magnificent thing in the commercial than this, right? So he flashed it, and then he delivered this line, "Now go watch Men in Black again for the first time," all right? So for the last several weeks, we've been in this series titled Faithful, and at the start of the year, our series titled Faithful was a reminder of our call to be faithful, and I cast this vision for us, that we would be a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over. And understand, even though this year is coming to a close, this is still the call for us as believers and as a church, that we would be a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over. But as we're going through this series, the series that we're going to wrap up today, we're being reminded not of our call to be faithful, rather we're being reminded of how God has proven himself to be faithful through Jesus Christ. And so we've been looking back at the different gifts that God has been faithful to provide for us through his faithful provision of Jesus. The gift of hope, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, and the gift of love. Now I said this on Wednesday night during our candlelight service, but let me say it again this morning. The greatest gift that God has given to us is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is our greatest gift. Apart from Jesus, all the other gifts would be absolutely meaningless. Any gift that we would unwrap tomorrow morning would be absolutely meaningless apart from Jesus. Jesus is our greatest gift. The only reason we have these other gifts, hope, peace, joy, and love, is because God was first faithful to send us Jesus. Jesus is our greatest gift. Now, as we go through the Advent season each year, we look at many different truths that we've seen before. We look at many different passages that we've seen before. And so my encouragement to us this morning, and also my encouragement to us tomorrow morning, Christmas morning, is this. Let's experience the greatness of the gift of Jesus once again for the first time. In other words, let's not allow this gift of Jesus to simply be something that we've gotten so used to talking about and seeing that he's just become mundane for us. But maybe let's ask God to renew our sense of awe and wonder for the greatest gift that we've ever received. Let's experience the greatness of the gift of Jesus once again for the first time. And so as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to see and be reminded of the greatness of the gift of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to John chapter 1 this morning. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Now, as we look at the book of John, it's one of the four Gospels, and of the four Gospels, it is one of people's favorite Gospel. In fact, many times if someone is newer to the faith or newer to reading Scripture, the Gospel of John is oftentimes the book that many pastors will point people to begin reading. And it's been said of the book of John that its stories are so simple that even a child will love them, but its statements are so profound that no philosopher can fathom them. In other words, the book of John has some rich and deep truths for us, but at the same time, it makes the good news of Jesus so attainable and so understandable that even a child can come to know Christ. We celebrated two children coming to know Christ this morning. So it's no surprise, since the book of John it makes the good news so attainable and understandable even for children, it's no surprise that John 3:16 is one of the most well-known and one of the most memorized verses of all time, being memorized by both adults and children. In fact, when I was a child in this church, there's a man in this church, I'm not sure who it was, I can't remember who this was, but there was a man in this church that challenged my sister to memorize John 3:16. And so he would ask her after church on Sundays, can you recite John 3:16 for me? And she would recite it for him. Now, she was a few years older than me, and so that's why he was asking her to memorize this instead of me. But one Sunday, I was standing next to her when he had her recite it, and so then he turned to me and said, "What about you? Can you say John 3:16?" And I said, "Well, of course." And he said, "Well, let's hear it." I said, "John 3:16. Now, I think that he thought I was being a smart aleck, but I really thought that that's what he was asking me to say, just to say John 3:16, which I was able to do. But again, the Gospel of John is simple yet so profound. And I would say that this is the case because this is true of the gift of Jesus as well. The gift of Jesus is simple yet so profound. Because as we think about the gift of Jesus, Jesus is coming into this world all those years ago to be the salvation of mankind. The reality is God really has made it simple for us. Because God hasn't given us a long checklist of things that we have to do in order to be saved. Rather, Jesus has done the work for us. Jesus went to the cross for us. God also doesn't have these scales of justice weighing our good deeds and our bad deeds, really making us question whether or not we're saved or not. Have I done enough good things to outweigh the bad things in my life? I don't know. The gift of Jesus is simple because Jesus is a gift we simply need to receive. And yet, as we think about this simple gift that we simply receive by trusting in Jesus as our Lord, this gift is also so profound because as we think about the gift of Jesus, we're reminded that the God of all things stepped out of heaven to go to the cross to die a sinner's death. The God of all creation went to the cross to take the punishment that is rightfully ours, that we might experience the righteousness that is rightfully His. And so while we might be used to hearing this truth, if we really take time to think about this and maybe even hear this truth once again for the first time, it really is such a profound truth that is even hard for us to fathom. So let me say it again. The gift of Jesus is simple, yet so profound. We're going to see this simple, yet so profound gift of Jesus in our passage right now. So with that in mind, we're going to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men that shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by looking at with you what we see there at the start of chapter 1. In verse 1, John begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, you might notice in your copy of God's Word, or you see it on the screen, that that word, "Word," there is capitalized, which tells us that this is not just a normal word. This is not just a normal noun. This is a proper noun, because John isn't just talking about any word. John is talking about a person, and that person is Jesus. Now, the Greek word that is used there for word is the word logos. And while logos is a Greek word, the idea of the logos was significant to both the Jews and the Greeks. In fact, Jewish rabbis would often refer to God in terms of his word, because much of what they understood about God and from God was from what God had spoken to them. And so in their minds, there was no separating the word of God from God himself. Now, this is just a side note, but I think that we would do well to learn from the Jewish rabbis in this regard, that we would not see God's word as separate from God, rather that we would see his word as an extension from himself. And I say this because in our world today, in our culture today, it continues to become more and more tempting to say that we love God and we want to worship God, while at the same time completely disregarding the truth of God's word. In other words, we're fine with worshiping God and accepting parts of God's word to the extent that it doesn't make us uncomfortable. But when it comes to our sins personally, well then I don't know if God really meant what he said about that for me. Listen, we've got to come to a place where our worship of God and our obedience to God comes solely from his word and not from our feelings and not from the ideologies of our culture. We must come to a place that we are not separating God's word from God himself. So the idea of the logos was significant to the Jews. It was also significant to the Greeks. In fact, Greek philosophers, they saw the logos as the power that makes sense of this world, that gives order to the chaos and that keeps everything going. And so again, the idea of the logos was significant to both the Jews and the Greeks. And so as John uses this word logos here, what he's doing is he's giving an identity to the word for both the Jews and the Greeks. He's saying, you've talked about the word, you've philosophized about the word, but this is who the word truly is. The word is Jesus. But furthermore, what he was doing is meeting both the Jews and the Greeks right where they were so that they could see and understand that the logos, the word, was for them. In other words, God was revealing himself to be not just for one group of people or for the other, but God was revealing himself to be for both the Jews, the Greeks, and even beyond. Understand, the gift of Jesus is for all people. Jesus didn't come to die simply for the poor or for the rich. He didn't come to die for the known or for the unknown. Jesus came to die that all might have the opportunity to be redeemed, that all might have the opportunity to be saved. The gift of Jesus is for all people. But now let me make this a little more personal. And let me say it this way. The gift of Jesus is for you. Jesus came into this world that you might have the opportunity to be forgiven. Jesus came into this world that you might have the opportunity to be redeemed. Jesus came into this world for you. And so I would ask you today, have you received this gift of Jesus? Have you trusted in Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Has your heart been transformed? Has your soul been redeemed? Have you received this gift of Jesus? And if you haven't, then my prayer is that you wouldn't wait until tomorrow morning, Christmas morning, to receive this gift, but that you would receive the gift of Jesus even today. So as we continue to look at our passage now, there are three things that I want you to see about the greatest gift that we've ever received. Three things that I want you to walk away with about Jesus. First, Jesus is the creator of all things. Let's look at verse 3 again. It says, all things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Jesus is the creator of all things. So back when I was in first grade here in Stockdale, we had a project 1 week to create planets out of paper mache. So we blew up balloons and we soaked strips of newspaper and flour and water. And we put those strips of newspaper all over the balloons. And after the paper mache, after it had dried, we popped those balloons, we painted our planets. And I remember taking my planet home and my dad, he hung that planet over his desk in what's now our living room in the house next door. And so I remember looking up at that planet hanging over my dad's desk, and understand, I did not have any confusion that that planet got there randomly or by accident. I knew exactly how that planet got there. My dad had hung it there, and I knew exactly who had created it. I had created that planet. As we look at this passage, we are reminded that this world and all the things in it did not come into this world by accident or randomly. Rather, it had a creator, and the creator is Jesus. Jesus very purposefully and intentionally created us, and he didn't just hang us over a desk. He put us right in the midst of a magnificent universe, a universe that he created as well, because all things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Now, as we think about Jesus creating all things, I want to give you this reminder. Jesus chose to create you. Hear that again. Jesus chose to create you. Jesus did not create you randomly or by accident. Rather, you were created on purpose and with a purpose. Jesus chose to create you. And maybe you need that reminder today, because we live in a world where more and more people feel like they are hopeless. They feel like their life has no meaning. And so I want you to remember that your life has great meaning and great purpose. God's desire is that he would be able to use your life for his kingdom and for his purposes. So if you're feeling discouraged today, let me just remind you, the one who existed before everything, Jesus, chose to create you. So Jesus is the creator of all things. Second, Jesus is the light in the darkness. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 again. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light, that light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Jesus is the light in the darkness. So when I was in high school, one night in the middle of the night, our power went out in our house. And I woke up in the midst of this power outage, and it was so dark in my bedroom that I could not even see my hand in front of my face. And because I had awakened from my sleep, I didn't realize that the power had gone out, so I quite dramatically believed that I had gone blind. And so I stumbled out of my room to the base of the stairs. My parents' bedroom was at the top of the stairs. And I called out to my parents and I said, I can't see. And my mom said, well, turn on the light in the stairwell. So something you should know, our stairwell had two lights in it. The one that was controlled by the light switch, but also my parents kept a lantern at the base of the stairwell for such a time as this. Now, because I did not realize that the power had gone out, I reached up for the light switch and I started flipping that thing on and off to no avail. And so I called out to my parents again and I said, I still can't see. I'm flipping the light switch, but I still can't see. And my mom said, not the light switch, turn on the lantern. And so I reached out for the knob on that lantern and I turned that knob. And when I did, I saw the most beautiful thing in the world. I saw light. So here in our passage, John paints a picture for us of the darkness that is in this world. And we don't have to look far to see that darkness, to see the reality of that darkness. We can turn on the TV. We can look at our social media news feed. We can even look at our own life at times, and we can see the reality of this darkness. This world is dark because it's broken. It is marred by sin, the sin of Adam and Eve. And because of their sin, we still have sin in our lives today. We still have sickness today. We still have destruction and decomposition. All of these things make this world dark, and yet, when we look to Jesus, we see the most beautiful thing in the world. We see the light. Now, if you're here and you've never turned to Jesus, if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord, then I want you to hear this invitation from Jesus today. Receive the light. Don't continue to walk in darkness. Don't continue to walk in blindness. Receive the light of Jesus today. But if you're here and you would say that you have received the light of Jesus, you have trusted in Jesus to be your Lord, then let me give you not an invitation, but an instruction. Proclaim the light. Just as John the Baptist proclaimed the light that all might believe, we also have this call as believers, as ones who have received the light, we also have this call to proclaim the light that all might believe. So if you've received the light, then proclaim the light. The light of Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is the creator of all things. Jesus is the light in the darkness. Finally, this morning, Jesus is God in the flesh. Let's look at verse 14 again. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed His glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God in the flesh. So on Wednesday of last week, Stockdale ISD, the schools got out at half day, but before they got out, the elementary school had their annual Christmas parties. And so on Tuesday night, Ethan asked me if I would come up to the school to be in his Christmas party. And so I took a break on Wednesday from getting ready for the candlelight service, and I went up to the school to go to his Christmas party. And I'll be honest, I really did not do much in that Christmas party. Nor were many of the parents doing much. We were just kind of standing off to the side, watching our kids talk and laugh and eat their Christmas treats. But as I stood there, thinking to myself, I'm really not doing anything, I was reminded that the most important thing for Ethan was simply for him to know that I was present. So as the Word became flesh, as Jesus stepped out of heaven and became one of us, God was communicating these two simple words to us. I'm present. In other words, Jesus came into this world to make God available to you and to me. And Jesus did this not just by coming into this world, but by also going to the cross and dying on that cross so that we could go to the Father so that we could have a relationship with the Father. Jesus came to make God available to us. And we receive that relationship with Jesus or with the Father by trusting in Jesus as our Lord. Jesus is the creator of all things. He's the light in the darkness, and He is God in the flesh. This is the gift of Jesus. as we think about the gift of Jesus, Jesus really is the greatest gift. But the only reason that we have this gift of Jesus is because we serve a God who is faithful, and he faithfully provided Jesus in this world all those years ago. Now, if you've received this gift of Jesus, let me give you this reminder once again. Experience the greatness of the gift of Jesus once again for the first time. But if you've never received this gift of Jesus, then I want to give you the opportunity to receive this gift this morning. So in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we do, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. We had a response in both of our services last week. And if God is moving in your heart, if God is moving in your life to respond this morning, then I want to give you that opportunity now. If you're here and you would say, I've never trusted in Jesus as my Lord, I've never received this light in the darkness, I've never received this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I've never been forgiven of my sins, transformed in my life, then as we sing this song, I would encourage you, step out of your seat. Come and talk with me. Come and pray. I'd love for today, Christmas Eve, to be the day that you begin your relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here and you would say, well, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never made my faith in Christ public through baptism like Gunnar and Owen did this morning. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, and make that commitment with you today. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I've never taken that step to become a member, but I know that God's calling me to do that today, to unite my life with this body of believers that we might be on mission together. If that's you, then I would encourage you and invite you to respond as well. But whatever it is that God is doing, whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Stand with me right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.